we've made a wrong turn. And Courtney and Ming and Mish and I are having an 80s themed sleepover. But I keep having visions of a rockabilly John Barenthal. This is the Wrong Turn Podcast.
Looks like
I liked that one. That's a really good description of this guy.
That guy looks like John Barenthal. Like,
he sure does. I like that you're having dreams of him, not me.
Yeah, so
which is funny. Sorry, go.
we're moving away from summer and school's starting up soon. That means nothing to us adults, but
no, it doesn't.
But perfect time to get with your friends and have some sleepovers on a weekend, you know.
Yeah, we have sleepovers all the time. Well, I guess you and Ming do, but you live together. I don't know if that really counts.
Did you have sleepovers when you were a kid?
Yeah, I did. Right. But I was that kid who would wake up at like 5 o'clock in the morning and be like, I'm going to go home now. Like, I was just over it at that point.
Oh, yeah, I was that kid. I think like the few times I had a sleepover, I like slept in and be like never knew when to wake up. Like, when's everybody else get up?
The kid that gets up early and goes in to like talks to the parents. I was also that kid.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to go on a whole lot of sleepovers. Like my parents like try to shelter me as much as possible. So be like, no. Yeah.
So you didn't have like a lot of like, yeah, actually friends, boy sleepovers. Like,
I had friends
like
sleepover.
Sixth grade, seventh grade, like sleepovers.
Yeah. Like whatchamacallit. Yeah, no. I had definitely had like a couple friends sleep over. We watch movies, eat pizza, you know, do all the shit. You know. And then high school, like even more so, we're just like, I had like one friend that probably just slept over like all the time because he just, you know, that's what we were doing.
Yeah, he was just like your bud. Yeah, he just kind of like lived with you.
Pretty much.
Yeah, my best friend Lou and I are kind of like that in a way. Like we would go back and forth from each other's houses like a lot.
Yeah. So burying the lead. We're doing Slumber Party Massacre 2, stuck in that great 80 cheese.
Cheesy cheese fat. Like, I like this movie. It's strange. It has nothing to do with part one or part three.
Yeah, a clear example of like the sequel doing it much better than the original. The original is like a straightforward slasher. And I don't even remember if the slasher even talks in the first one. Creepy old man with the drill. The only through line between, I want to say, the original trilogy and the two remakes that we got in the last couple years is the drill. There's just the killer has to have some sort of drill. That's it.
Like, right. Driller killer, yeah, as he's called in this one.
So this one is rated at a 4.7 out of 10 on IMDb, 30% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not a whole love on Rotten Tomatoes. Metacritic gave it a 49%, but Google users give it a 78%. I'm like, that's fine. Like, this movie's still pretty fun. It's not the best movie, but like, you know what you're getting into.
Exactly. Yeah. It may not be the best, but it absolutely falls in line with everything that I love about horror movies. It's like a knockoff, like Nightmare on Elm Street, excuse me. I loved every second of it. I'm in love with the Driller Killer, truly.
Well, this one's the most charismatic. Like,
he starts showing up with the guitar and that look and the leather jacket. And I was like, wait a second, is this my husband?
It's exactly what I think the director, Deborah Brock, was going for. It was like a sort of like Nightmare on Elm Street-esque killer. And that's why we get so many. Hey, you know, I would have loved more of him. Like, he had it, actually. He had he carried this movie when we get to him.
He did.
And I'm just like, really give me more of not even a name, just the Driller Killer.
Just the Driller Killer. Yeah. And he's got a song. Fuck yeah.
Got a fucking musical. This is one step away from being like a full on musical. Like, they should have just gone.
It's almost giving like Rocky Horror, like Eddie.
Yeah.
Another like Saturday Night. Like
the oh yeah.
He's Eddie. Really giving that. Eddie. Yeah, that's
not bad. All right, let's go through our main cast of characters. Mm-hmm. We got Crystal Bernard, excuse me, playing Courtney. I'm pretty sure there's like there are horror Easter eggs in here like through and through. So it's just like,
oh,
really?
I tried to write down some of them, but I didn't get them all.
Like, yeah.
No.
Yeah, I get like Courtney Bates. Come on.
Yeah.
Like Bates. Yeah, that's fair. Atanas Illich. Is that how you pronounce his last name? Is the Driller Killer. Juliet Cummings, Sheila, Heidi, Kozak playing Sally. And then I believe it is, what is it? Kim MacArthur playing, was it Amy, I think? And I think
the little girl rock group.
Yeah, a little gem in the holograms, or you know, the Bangles,
Go-Go's,
whatever, Go-Go's, what have you. And then Valerie, which is, we forget, is the fifth girl in this movie, playing Courtney's sister, who this is the way they tie the two movies, is that this is a direct sequel because Crystal is one of the survivors from Silver Party Massacre 1, and it is 6 years later. She is about 18 years old. She's in high school, and like you said, she's in a girl band, and they're gonna go away to Desert Springs for the week. Is Desert Springs a real place, like, or is that just like something they made up for the movie?
It sounds like it might be, but yeah. I don't know.
We could look it up
because that's could, what we're supposed we won't.
To. Yeah,
we won't though.
We won't. No, we'll just assume. We'll just ask questions and let other people.
Yeah. We'll ask Desert questions Springs out into the just out in there and just hope that someone just responds and it's like, actually.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of a little like also, like I said, clear example of the sequel doing much better than the original. I love how it goes off the fucking rails. Also, an example of when you have a title for the movie, but you don't have a script. They did this one backwards. They sold the, I guess, the distribution for this movie or the funding for this movie. They got clearly on the name alone, and then they worked it backwards, which is, yeah, I could see that. Like, this is.
I don't know. First of all, this is the only slasher series that's completely directed by women, every single one in this series.
Really?
Oh. So that's rad. So I kind of get where they're coming from as far as like just going into that pitch and being like, it's Slumber Party Massacre 2. And they're like, okay, yeah, here's your money. And you're just like, all right, now we have to figure out what the fuck this movie is, guys.
Yeah. And not to be confused with, you know, Sorority House Massacre, Slumber Party Massacre 2001. It's Cheerleader Massacre, Pillow Party Massacre, like the massacre, I don't know, genre.
I think I've seen Sorority Massacre. I think I saw that one.
I've seen Sorority Massacre, and I've seen the remake of Sorority Massacre. That's the one where I forgot, like they accidentally kill.
They accidentally kill one of their friends, right?
Yeah, yeah. They accidentally, and then like I think. A few, like,
it's almost
later.
Like I Know What You Did Last Summer kind of thing.
There's a lot of massacres. Great name for a horror movie.
Basically. Yeah, yeah. Massacre is a great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It is. It really just delivers the massacre.
So Crystal Bernard was best known for her role in the TV sitcom Wings, and she will be referred to Wings from here on out. And right. Atanas Illich, the Driller Killer, is of. Spitting image of like, or you know, carbon copy, or I guess John Barathon is a carbon copy to him of each other. They're carbon copies of each other. It's real.
They are, and John is an attractive man, so yeah. I'm here for it. Like, I remember him in all sorts of things. I guess specifically The Walking Dead.
Yeah,
can't besides save Rick. Like the The Punisher, wasn't he the Punisher for like a hot second?
He might come back as a Punisher too.
Okay, that would be dope. He's a good Punisher.
And like, I think now he's most known for having his podcast where he talks about just being a man. What a man do, you know?
Is he cool?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about the man.
You can't take a nap, apparently. It's like,
oh, that's not manly to nap.
It's not manly. No, no. So it's weakness. It's money making time, apparently.
Oh, he's one of them. It's like a Wahlberg type of guy where he's like, I wake up at 9 p.m. to go to the gym. You're like, what?
Did you go to sleep? Because I already slept by 8 hours from one. Yeah, already slept 8 hours. From 1 p.m. to 8, I already slept. Yeah, yeah. What are you guys doing? I start. All right, so we're going to play it on in the background. And, oh, fun fact about Atanas, which is a great first name. I've never met another Atanas ever. Atlas, maybe. But
I've met a few Atlases.
Yeah.
But not Atanas.
Which is, yeah, super interesting. He is the son of Mike Ilitch, who is the founder and entrepreneur of Little Caesars Pizza Hut restaurants.
Oh, that's cool.
So technically, Atanas is Little Caesar or Prince Little Caesar.
Technically, this man is Little Caesar. And where is the pizza?
And his family owns the Detroit Lions or Tigers. They own a couple sports teams.
Oh, shit. So
teams.
They got money.
Atanas comes from money.
Atanas, with a name like that, he's money. He's got that generational wealth, baby.
Yeah, 100%. I'm pretty sure. Like, I would have loved to see more movies with the Driller Killer. Like, you just kept coming back.
Me too. Let's call him.
They own the Red Wings, the Detroit Red Wings, and I think they own the Detroit Tigers, if I remember correctly.
Dang.
Yeah. So Atanas doesn't have any really work. And he had a small career as a musician because why not?
Yeah. When daddy got all the money, go for it.
Yeah. And we have a couple of... You could find his vinyls on eBay, and one of them is called Sugar Summer.
Oh, maybe like taking Harry Styles for his money.
Oh, I feel man. Like who copied
that
who?
Watermelon Sugar song?
Yeah, exactly.
Probably nothing like it, but that's the first thing I thought of.
With songs like Shadows, Dark Night, Tina, Escape, Crazy in the Dark, Let's Live Together, Talk to Me Like the Rain.
Talk to Me Like the Rain?
Yeah.
Oh, I bet that's the romantic one. I bet that's a really like sensitive one.
You know what? He's holding a cat on the back cover. So, you know, he's sensitive.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to find these and they're going on the Instagram TikTok.
And of course, the title track, Sugar Summer, not even Summer Sugar, but Sugar Summer.
Sugar Summer.
And Shoot the Guns and The Bergman Affair, which is a hell of a title for a song.
The Bergman Affair? That got you. That got you.
The Bergman Affair?
Are you fucking kidding me? What is that song?
Yeah, I write songs like Sugar Summer and The Bergman Affair.
What is it?
I will find it. Oh my god, we will find it. Oh,
the Bergman Affair. It better be scandalous as
you know what?
Fuck.
Because if he's mad, I'm just saying Atanas is just a little funny. You gave a great performance. We love you in this fucking movie.
We do. No hate. We love you.
He's so like.
I, in fact, think that I was like, I just fell in love with this man. 2 seconds.
So the fact is, like, I'm sure you're talented. I'm sure these songs are great.
If you're listening to us, call.
Yeah, I'm sure he has to do. I mean, like, he doesn't need the money, but I'm sure he like goes to like. I mean, it would be fun if he goes to like horror conventions and things like that.
We can get a cameo from him. I wonder if he's on Cameo. Is that what that thing is called?
Yeah, Cameo. Yeah.
could remember. he probably isn't. I don't know. Those are all for like D-list celebrities, if you like, or not.
People who
I don't
need
know.
Money. We notice that Thomas doesn't need money. He has Little Caesar's yeah. money.
Like, he's got Little Caesar's money and what Detroit Red Wing money, Detroit yeah. Lion money.
Yeah, to buy them. He's fine. He owns his family owns
them.
Them.
Yeah, owns them.
You own your family oh. owns two city sport? Nationals sports teams.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's fucking money.
That is like the most money you can get in this country, I feel like, besides yeah. Amazon.
Because like, well, what do I do now? Well, I guess I'll buy a sports team.
Yeah. That's literally it. Cheese. Like, I'm bored. I'm going to buy a sports team. Like, oh, okay.
So, yeah. So, needless to say, his music career didn't pick up or his acting career.
Bummer.
But maybe, you know.
Bummer.
Maybe the empire that was Little Caesars really needed him, you know, and he just called it quits. I didn't look into much of a Tonus after
I'm
this.
I'm upset that during Halloween time, they don't have like a Driller Killer special.
Oh no!
I'm gonna write an email.
That actually be pretty. It'd be so good if he reprises a role for the commercials for the marketing. Oh,
for the
God.
Commercials,
sell yeah,
fuck
so
it.
Much.
Just during
pizza.
Halloween time. Just during Halloween time, I would only eat Little Caesar's pizza if that were the case.
Fun fact: he was the first person to audition for the Driller Killer, but. Deborah.
And he sold fucking
yeah,
yeah
but
he
Deborah
got
was
it.
Like, I can't pick him because he's the first guy.
Oh,
so they,
but you
they
have had to.
Yeah, but he was the best choice apparently. And clear.
I love that she was like, oh, we can't. We have to see the others. Like, it's only fair, and she's right. That's fair. You should see many people, but I like that they chose him anyway.
Yeah. and they were the only issue was that they were sort of. Conflicted that he was a little short for the role because you know they want a Jason-esque character, I'm assuming, where they wanted something
yeah.
like, somebody big, brawling, and sort of intimidating.
Yeah, like 6'2" perhaps.
Yeah so you know needless to say he's a little bit under 6 feet or something like that, maybe like 5'10" or whatever, but they were like, oh fuck it, we'll just fix it in post, you know, like we'll just make the camera angles make him look taller, which I'm like, yeah, that's fine, whatever. Him being
magic.
You know normal size had nothing to do with his performance. He's like still fucking killed.
Correct.
It
I didn't even notice that he was like not big. I guess I didn't even occur to me. I was way just too into him. I'm like, I love it.
Yeah, us short kings know that, you know, if you're not bringing height to the table, you gotta be mad charismatic. So then
I love short kings. I really do.
So we're starting off the movie with a nice little montage, a little dream sequence of
a little soft core.
Yeah. You know,
a little.
This didn't have a whole lot of female nudity, like some of the
just
you know,
some boobs.
Of our kind of more exploitive B movies. A lot of the girls weren't comfortable with getting naked on this movie, except for one of the ladies. And I think Kim MacArthur was actually a Playboy playmate who was actually trying to distance herself from nudity and was trying to focus on her acting career. So good for her.
Yeah. Hell yeah. We support that.
Yeah. You know, we didn't need it. And then the one time that we do get a little female nudity.
It's just the sleepover part. And we'll get there. But that is like a standard what you think happens at a girl sleepover. And they make that
joke. I assume that's exactly what happens at every girl. I'm just assuming that's what happens when two girls just get together and no men are looking.
No. Like not in my experience, but you know what? That's okay.
Okay.
I won't. I definitely did have a really crazy sleepover in high school where we did like where there was no tops on, but we were drunk. And so there, I guess there is some truth to that. Like, I guess girls like- will do that. But it was funny because I remember one of my friend being like, I'm not drunk enough for this. She like left. She was like, why is everyone's tits out?
So we have Wings here. Courtney. Oh, fun fact. Our main character's name is Courtney. So that's not going to be confusing at all for the podcast.
That's okay. We finally have a Courtney. We
finally got a Courtney. We had an Edgar in Disturbing Behavior. We got a Courtney in this one. So she's having some weird dreams of previous events that might have happened of a previously on Slumber Party Massacre 1, basically, and a little post-traumatic stress. Fair enough. You know, she lived through a traumatic experience. You know, she still can't shake it. And I'm surprised, like, that she's trying to shake it at all. She's like, why am I still having nightmares? I don't know. You were almost murdered by a guy with a drill. Like,
yeah, you know? Honey, healing isn't linear. Just because it's been 5 years doesn't mean that you should just be over it.
Yeah, fair. 100%. At the end of the montage, we get a great title sequence as like to foreshadow what this movie might be. Because like I said, this movie almost non-linear in itself.
Oh, I was just going to say Courtney's sister, Valerie, from the first one, just because we have that little bit of plot there, right? Is in a mental hospital. So
a little through line.
There's that. Yeah.
Courtney's dealing with some, apparently she's been dealing with these nightmares for a while and looks great, even though she's not getting any sleep. And I think that's a little bit more of what they were trying to get from that whole Nightmare on Elm Street too, where that she also isn't sleeping and this is affecting like her rest.
True,
and her
because
sleep.
If you don't get proper sleep, it does start to affect you.
Oh,
very, like that. Yeah, like it's truly very, very bad for your health.
Yeah. So Cordy's off to school. We're getting one of the many, many small musical numbers in this movie with Tokyo Driver, I believe the name of the song is. And we're introduced to our first friend, Amy, who's picking up from school in a completely different car than she's going to pick her up later. So I don't know how many cars Amy's have.
Amy's parents are rich.
Yeah. Oh, and we also hear that Sheila's dad has a condo. So, but nothing explicitly says that they're super rich or anything like that.
No. Yeah, just like we want to go stay at the condo. Yeah. No.
Yeah, upper middle class maybe. So yeah. So we get a little bit of a hint that Courtney likes this guy named Matt. As Matt is a 30-year-old man playing 17, as we do on this podcast, with
but
a receding hairline
Matt
and a great tan,
a great smile. He is a Lowe after all. He's a is Patrick he? Lowe. Patrick Lowe. So I'm assuming he's related to Rob Lowe in some way.
Oh,
I did no research though. I did zero research. I could be wrong. I just looked at him and I was like, oh, I can see him being related to Rob Lowe. Like he has that look.
Well, now on the IMDb page, his photo didn't come up, so I kind of just like missed it. Could be.
I'm just saying he looks like he could be related to Rob Lowe, so that's the only reason why when I saw his name Patrick Lowe, I just made the connection. But again, I did not look it up.
And Mishi has something to say about him. Okay.
And Mishi's also like, yeah, that guy.
No, not related.
No? Mm-mm. Well, luck of the draw. He is just a pretty man.
Yeah.
Good smile, good tan.
Has three siblings. None of them are a Patrick.
All right. Well, maybe he's a cousin. I don't know. He's just
possibly
a very, very like standard looking attractive man. But you're correct. He's like 30.
Yeah. You could see it though. Like you could totally, like now that you mentioned it, I'm like, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we cut to our garage where the knockoff Bangles.
Girl rock band.
Yeah, girl rock band.
You said the Bangles. I say knockoff Go-Go's.
Like, oh, okay. these songs are performed by a band called Weekend Wednesday.
Weekend Wednesday? Okay.
And the songs are actually pretty good. Like.
Yeah. No, they rock.
Yeah.
I like it.
No issue.
They got a look.
Yeah. Wednesday.
I'm here for it. I like the girl on the drums.
Yeah.
I like the girl on the drums, their pink fucking bow and the whole pink outfit. I like
it. We know it's a fantasy because what are the chances that all your best friends all play the perfect positions in a girl rock band?
I tried to have a rock band when I was a teenager and it was nothing like this.
Oh, yeah,
did,
yeah.
Did like, not go over well.
Yeah, I remember that same friend who bummed on my couch every week. Yeah, wanted to be the singer. And I'm like, okay, man, what are you bringing to the table? Like, you need to be a little bit more than the singer. Everybody wants to be the singer.
Yeah, everyone wants to be the singer. You can't.
You can't
what
be
else
the singer,
can you
Mike.
Do?
Yeah, yeah.
Mike, you can't.
And, you know, not an issue here with the girl band. proceed. And then we got Matt, you know, coming in, and I like how it's kind of a reverse role as opposed to, you know, the guy being in the band. And
I love it. I like that he goes to see her band play and he's like, you girls rock. Like, he's a nice guy. I have no issues with Matt.
No issues. Then Courtney Wings here and Rob Lowe's cousin get together and go for a little smooch fest. And then Patrick gets invited to the Desert Springs weekend getaway because the girls, they need to get away for the weekend so they can practice for the big dance, right? Because these girls got it.
I believe they do. And I believe they do need to practice.
They mean they don't have any to practice. Yeah. I mean,
no, that's why they have to go to this condo for the weekend to practice. That's the whole thing.
I mean, also, like, you're practicing now. Like, you're practicing as we speak. So, yeah, like,
you have a garage that you can practice in. I think it's whatever. It's fine.
Yeah. Unless you're annoying the neighbors and like, fuck. I mean, I would see how that guy would get annoying. Like, one of my neighbors would get upset if we played music too loud. But yeah. Or if you practice too loud. But yeah. All right. And you might notice that there's a lot of these head on shots in this movie.
Yes.
I'm like,
they're almost breaking the fourth wall in a way. I'm like, are we looking right into the camera?
I didn't notice it too much because they happen in small segments. Like, you're not having like a whole monologue in this one position.
Right.
But you are saying that it's a lot from Courtney's perspective and it might make it a little bit surreal. Something that they did purposefully for this movie, obviously. So then we cut to dinner with Mrs. Bates. No horror pun intended, of course. And Courtney, as they're having the worst meatloaf I've ever seen in my life.
Ooh, it looks like dog food. Wet, cold dog food.
And then Courtney's just trying to get her mom to let her go to Desert Springs for the weekend so the girls can practice for the big dance, like we said. But her mom is basically saying that, well, we made an appointment to go see your sister because, as we know, your sister survived a horrific experience and we should probably visit your sister more often. And you know what? We kind of agree a little bit.
Yeah. Like, I agree. I understand why the mom is also like, I don't really want you to go away this weekend because she's already has a daughter in a mental hospital and you should be visiting her more often. You should be you should really be supporting this woman.
Yeah. You should be visiting, you should be visiting your sister a lot, like once a week at least. But
yeah, I can also understand like Courtney's point of view being like, mom, it's my birthday. I want to go hang out with my friends.
Yeah.
So I get that too.
Mrs. Bates forgot it was Courtney's birthday because she's got a lot of her mind, which kind of sucks.
And also, so, the mom can go to the mental hospital alone. Like, just let Courtney go have the weekend.
Fine. Understandable. Completely. Mm-hmm. And the mom forgetting that it's Courtney's birthday is just the get out of jail card Courtney needs to let her go on this weekend. Of course, Courtney's lying, saying that Sheila's parents are going to be there.
Correct. And Sheila's parents are super strict.
Yeah, because we need our kids to be unsupervised for this horror movie for things to proceed.
Obviously.
Do you ever have milk like for dinner with your meal?
Yes, all the time.
Did you?
All the time.
Is that why you're so big and strong? Jesus.
It is.
Is that how you got so tall and strong?
Like, is that how you got so tall and strong?
I didn't know. We never got milk with our.
You guys did it?
Is that a thing?
Maybe it's a Midwest thing, or I don't know if it's like an all-American thing, but maybe definitely more Midwest. But yeah, we had milk at dinner time and you finish your glass of milk.
So Mrs. Bates gives Courtney the go-ahead, and then we get our second nightmare scene where Courtney is seeing Valerie now, intercut with glimpses of Atanas for the first time.
Mm-hmm. You get his boots and you get like Courtney making out with Matt.
Yeah, it all starts out the same. All of her dreams start out the same, where it's just fucking Matt in these short shorts just running around. Is that like just getting real horned up in her dreams?
I don't know. They did that a lot. I feel like that was always in a lot of movies. It was like hot guy, little shorts with a football. That was like peak sexy.
And It's funny because it's like, it's sort of like intercut with like stuff that happened in the last movie, but it's also foreshadowing what's going to happen in this movie. So like,
yeah.
Is Courtney having a premonition? She's just not really aware of the PTSD sort of made her a little bit psychic and she can't rest. It's basically really fucking up her shit. And I think in this second time, she actually has it twice where she just gets fed up and just starts breaking down, as you would. Like, if I was having nightmares every night of some fucking horrific fucking shit, like, it might fuck me up too. Yeah, this time it's more of the second time around, it's more of Valerie sort of warning her that he's coming.
Yeah, like, yeah, and also like telling her not to have sex too.
She's like, because if you have sex, remember,
she's like, don't you go all the way.
Yeah, this is the heyday.
Don't do it. Yeah.
This is the heyday. This
abstinence is the only way.
Which I'm like, did you need that for the movie? Like,
no, it was, I don't think so.
Because he still tries to kill her anyway.
Regardless of whether or not she was a virgin.
Yeah, yeah. So we get glimpses of Valerie in like one of the worst mental hospitals ever. Fucking pee stains on the mattress. Like, it looks rough. Like, Valerie, not the best facility for you, honey. Sweetheart. No. You need to get out of
here. I feel bad for her. Not only is she traumatized from that horrific experience, she's in a nasty ass mental institution.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So, like I said, Courtney haunted by these fucking dreams. So then we move on to the next day where her mom says she looks a little tired, but she's fine. She just wants to go to Desert Springs for the weekend. And see, this is where we see Amy in a different car altogether. This is the...
Maybe this is just like the road trip car. This, like... station wagon.
I like how they made
Oldsmobile.
It. Yeah, exactly. They had to make it look like they were for sure going on a road trip, like to practice, because they have all their fucking gear in the car.
The gear on top of it. It's like, okay, guys. I feel like that could probably have fit in the station wagon, but you know what? It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Like, it's what's their hi-fi or the half stacks, whatever the fuck they're called, their speakers. So we get a little bit more exposition time with the girls. We get a little bit clear motivations on, you know, which one is Sally, which is a drummer, and then Sheila, which is the lead singer, and Amy, which is, I guess, the lead guitarist, who's also driving. And I mean, they also feel like the same person to some degree. Like, they're all very similar looking. Yeah, they're not that much different personality. The only thing is that
they're all bubbly girls. I was just kidding. They're all really just like bubbly, cute girls. Like, they're not really distinguishable.
Other than, like, we find out that the drummer is the lyricist. I guess she writes all the songs, and then Sheila's the most horned up.
Yeah, because Sheila's the one that we're getting to, like, is the one having sex with TJ, right? Because there's that whole bit of like her having sex a lot.
Yeah, a fair amount. Courtney just looks out of it because, you know what, as we see, she's been haunted by the traumatic events of part one because she barely survived her life. And it seems like she's just like daydreaming too, like as far as like...
She dissociates.
Yeah, she just has no idea if she's actually awake or asleep right now.
But like you get just the... like this one here when they're in the car and like you see more of Atanas, like it's fucking drill guitar thing, like dancing. I love it so much.
Yeah, no notes on Atanas. Basically
no notes. Notes, just sexy.
Courtney's having visions of Valerie being murdered, and I want to think that like, yes, like this was a sort of like a deal where like the killer is getting closer and closer. And like little by little, and then as her dreams intensify, he's approaching, right? And then he starts off with killing the person that survived the last movie. So I want to think that Valerie is actually dead.
Okay, I like that.
I want to think that like everybody's dead. I want to think that like Driller Killer went after her mom, and then I just wanted you needed a little bit more.
I agree.
The ladies eventually make it to Desert Springs condo resort and casino. It's not a casino, but whatever. They realize that they are the only ones in the neighborhood as it's still under construction, and they are staying at Sheila's dad's condo, which is in all of its 80s glam, perfect with its pastel colors and really
white kitschy furniture.
oh well, yeah, peach white furniture and kitschy 80s art.
Yeah, so. I was gonna say that painting that's in the living room. It's like ay.
Yeah. And I forgot what that, like, that those always really cheesy 80s paintings of like of women with like kind of like crew cuts.
Yeah.
They have a few of those, but like they're like knockoff versions. Yeah, so I'm just like, oh, yeah. So the girls kind of settle in. They find a rubber doll. They find out that Sheila's brother is also a horn dog, and I don't know, they really just gotta, you know, run it home with Sheila's family just being a bunch of perverts, I guess. Which,
yeah, like obviously the parents don't care what their kids are doing. The kids are just horn balls, and then they're breaking into the booze cupboard immediately, as you do.
Oh yeah, 100%. Not parents aren't around. Yeah, we're getting some booze.
Hell yeah. And it's like the fancy stuff, because it's like champagne, which, barf, ew. Have you been drunk on champagne? It's the worst. It's the worst hangover. It's,
I was going to say, like, that's a little rough if you're just going to be like,
you're only just drinking champagne? Oh, no, thank you. I'm going to have chugging a headache before.
I mean, was like that the fantasy? Like, oh, yeah, I don't know.
I think that's a fantasy of like, it's rich. You know what I mean? Like, oh my God, we had a weekend and we just got so drunk on champagne. Like, this rich, lavish thing. And I'm like, that sounds like it sucks.
I mean, this looks like it's champagne left over from the wedding. So it's, you know, it's like $6 a bottle, you know, because they're each girl has like their own bottle of champagne. Basically, yeah, and they're picking out. I love it. Corn dogs and champagne. That
corn dogs, squeezy cheese out of the can.
Oh, I was like, never. We were not a squeezy cheese family.
You didn't get it.
Doesn't make sense. Like, why?
It's not cheese. It's not real. It's not real food.
Exactly.
I don't even know if they sell it anymore. I don't think we ever had it like in our house. Like, it wasn't a thing my mom bought, but I definitely had tried it.
Yeah. No, I think it's still a thing. I think it's just like
I haven't seen it in ages, so I don't know. Clearly I'm not looking for it.
Hey, we're not looking for it, exactly. Oh, we forgot to say that movies produced by Roger Corman, the King of Cult, I believe he was called. Yeah, Roger Corman produced so many movies. Dude, the list goes on. So this was just one of many. And then Sheila, being the horny one of the bunch, decides to get naked and spray all the girls with champagne, and I'm like, that's just a mess. That's, you're gonna have to clean that
sticky
up later.
Sticky mess.
Yeah.
Yep. Gross.
Rough. And then a pillow fight ensues, and like I said, this is what I assume all girls do when they get together: is they have pillow fights and spray each other with champagne. Mm-hmm. And
I just love that she went there with that, the director. She was like, yeah, we're going right on the nose. This is what girls do at sleepovers.
Or like, is that where they were like, this is what happens in a horror movie?
That too. I think it's a little bit of both. Like, again, I've never had a pillow fight like that. But
I've never opened up the pillow to like spray feathers everywhere, and I'm like, that's now you're that's some more.
I've definitely hit my friends with a pillow, but that shit does hurt, especially if you ever like, hey, fuck you, and you throw a pillow at your friend.
Oh yeah, you can get a lot of injuries can be had, 100%.
Yeah.
And then we got the boys who approach the condo, Jeff and TJ, and TJ being our knockoff Keanu Reeves, and Jeff being our dime store Ken doll. And what really horrifies me is that the feathers got all over all the food, and I'm just like, and they shoot it too, where I'm just like, food's ruined.
Food can no more squeezy cheese. And you're so right about this being like such a mess, where I would be like, this isn't fun anymore, guys.
No, like, I would have loved it if Sheila was like, no, this is my dad's house. He's going to fucking kill me.
Like, we are sticky, covered in champagne and feathers. Like, is there even a vacuum in here?
Exactly. Like, he just bought this house. There's fucking champagne stains everywhere now. This is fucking carpet.
Yeah, you guys, the carpet. Jesus Christ.
Oh my, no. Growing up with carpet, like, no, everything. Yeah. No. Everything that falls on the carpet's going to stay on that carpet. You have to live looking at that stain because you didn't want to tell your parents that you spilled something, because that just means you're in worse trouble.
Yeah,
because you definitely weren't supposed to be in the living room eating, and you were.
You weren't supposed to be eating the carpet. Yeah. So we get a nice little jump scare as Jeff and TJ assault poor Sheila and fake that Jeff got stabbed, basically telling the girls that they should really watch their backs because, you know, don't you know that it's unsafe to leave the back door unlocked?
They're not wrong. I mean, they're dicks, but, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah. TJ's a huge dick. And TJ's with the thickest Southern California accent I've ever heard in a movie.
Yeah, he lays it on thick.
Yeah. Like, so the point is, like, are you acting, bro?
like, wait, what? But, you know, honestly, when you run into them in the wild, it is going to look so surprising. You're like, oh, my God, you actually do talk like that. Okay.
Yes. I've never heard it until I moved down here, and I was just like, oh.
Yeah, you hear every once in a while, you're like, oh. And then you're like, are you stupid?
Oh,
and you're like,
real.
No, wait, they're not. Like, they're just, that's just how they talk.
It's just the accent.
It's just the accent. But for real, I honestly thought, I was like, wait, is this person like, oh, okay. Like,
yeah. So we find out that TJ's Sheila's boyfriend, and then they proceed to have loud sex what seems like all night, you know?
Yeah. It's a lot. And like the girls make a joke about it too in the bed. Like, she's like, oh, like, are they like this all the time? And they're like, oh, yeah. Like, it just keeps going and going and going. And I'm like, huh, I guess. Well, when you are 17, it is like that, I guess. But they are going all night. They are going all night. And that, ouch. That's all I'm going to say. Ouch.
So then we have Courtney's third nightmare, fourth nightmare technically, because the second night she had two nightmares. And she's dreaming of Patrick, or excuse me, Matt this time, in her bed, and she rolls over to kiss him and then switches out to be our driller killer. And then we find Valerie on the floor slain, and this is the first time we hear the driller killer like actually talk to us, the audience, or Courtney, and just says, like, I'm tired of Valerie. I've had Valerie. I just want to make love to you, you know? And
I don't know why she's so scared of him. I've been like, absolutely.
It's a dream, like, right? Like, it's a fantasy. Like, yeah, you know, not hurting anybody.
if he woke up in my bed, I'd be like, yep.
It would have been fun. Like, yeah, that would have been.
Big, so sorry. Are you a hot rockabilly murderer? Love it.
I mean, I guess the traumatizing part would have been like seeing your sister murdered like next to you.
Yeah. And then that's like, not okay. Yeah.
It really, really stifles the eroticism a little bit.
You're so right.
So then we find out Courtney slept on the kitchen floor because she just needed to run away. So you're kind of seeing that things are kind of playing out in reality a little bit, because you don't know if she's sleepwalking or not, or if Atanas was actually there. Excuse me, the driller
and
killer.
I do the driller killer, but I actually do like the consistency of the nightmares. The fact that she, like, we're seeing more of them. You're getting more of Atanas or driller killer, like, I do dig that. It's a good amp up.
Yeah, like, you could do this again and keep the same themes and just ramp it up a little bit more, where it's like you got a little bit more of Atanas. You could give him a fucking car, right, where he's just driving down the road and he just gets closer and closer, right? Or like, he could have visited Valerie. He could have visited her mom, you know, just a little bit more, just ramping it up till he, guess what? He finally makes it to Desert Springs, right?
Yeah.
You know, give him like a real good intro.
Like, you dreamt him to reality.
Yeah, which is like another thing altogether, which is another way you could have gone with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It could have been Courtney all along.
Yeah, that's another way you could have swung it too. Like, she was murdering and she thought it was like the driller killer. Real quick with this like pool scene, like, it's not a whole lot going on. I just wanted to see if you caught this. When they talk about drinking juice, like, hey, hand me a juice. That is a motherfucking candle. It's a candle.
It looks like a candle. I thought they were candles,
too. It's a candle. It's not even juice. It's just a candle.
You know, from one thing that I learned about Roger Corman is that he liked to recycle things. So like these are sets from something else. I'm sure all these props are from something else too. Yeah, they look like Virgin Mary candles. Like it's pretty funny.
The Saint candles. I'm like, this is so fucking funny. He's like, hand me the juice. Just handle the fucking candle.
So here's where we kind of get like the pool scenes where we kind of figure out like TJ is kind of a fucking prick.
Oh yeah, he's a huge prick.
Yeah, like his jokes aren't funny. He's, I don't know, he's a little aggressive. He has like no tact. Like there's like several things. Like Sheila,
truly don't understand what Sheila sees in him. He's not even that cute, but you know, I've made mistakes too, Sheila. It's okay.
Like, I'm sure Matt had better friends.
Yes. Because Matt seems like an okay kind of guy. So the fact that he's hanging out with these two, I'm like,
So TJ decides to fix Courtney's headache by throwing her into the pool and kind of expelling it like an exorcism, which it was kind of funny. But Courtney almost drowns as she kind of blacks out in the process and doesn't get out of the pool. And then she has sort of another vision. So this is our fifth vision, which I feel like movies do this more nowadays where like indie movies, they do kind of play this up. So this is kind of like a little bit before its time where they throw in like these really eerie sequences and these dream sequences in the middle of a scene. You know, so like maybe this why this movie kind of works a little bit. You know, you could have sort of seen that like in like a movie like Infinity Pool, right? Where it kind of goes off the rails for a little bit.
Right? And I think that's why I mentioned like I really enjoy the fact that they do it so often. Like kind of reminds you that like she is sort of losing it. Like she's not sleeping it, she's losing it. And there's like random I enjoy it.
Yeah, random visions. Yeah. And there's also the thing where anytime you go on a trip, you might have like that one friend that kind of makes it about themselves, you know?
Yeah.
So her friends are being pretty understanding, but at one point you're going to be like, fuck, dude, Courtney needs to get it together. Cause like we're trying to be out here, have a good time.
That is true. There is truth to that where you're like, you want to be supportive because you understand this is your friend that has PTSD, like survived this like massacre from a few years ago. Like, I think you would be a little bit like, hey, guys, like give Courtney a break.
Yeah.
But after a while, you'd be like, Courtney, all right now, like, do you actually need to go home?
Yeah. And her friends do ask her like, hey, do you want to go home? Because you could totally go home. And
exactly.
I think the only friend that knows that she's gone through something is Amy. Her other friends have no idea that she went through something traumatic because they asked her earlier, what college did her sister go to? And she just,
oh, you're right.
She makes up something, say she went to Humboldt College, right? And she looks at Amy and they kind of have like a knowing glance at each other.
Yeah. No, you're correct. So the majority of them don't know this, the trauma.
And then at this point is where, again, ramping it up a little bit more, where Courtney Wings here is starting to have visions during the daytime. So no longer does she need to be asleep. She sees a chopped up hand inside of a burger, freaks the fuck out. And then her friends are just like, Courtney's kind of fucking losing it, you know, a little bit. We have our fifth musical number after this.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Props to them. They are actually practicing on their weekend away. Yeah, like they are.
No, there are. You kind of need to. They weren't talking shit. They weren't lying.
They're like, yeah. You know, we're going away for the weekend, but we are going to practice.
Also, that's a lot more equipment than they had in the car. I'm just saying.
It sure is.
They didn't have that many speakers. Whatever.
I was like, yeah, whatever. It's fine.
And it actually looks like they know how to play some of their instruments. Like.
Yeah, Amy? No, I have like no notes. Like they legit look like a band.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
Crystal Bernard is a musician. So yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, she looks like she's got the guitar down. Good for them. We love it. And I also like that the guys are sitting there cheering them on. I do enjoy that. I was like, hell yeah. We're all just hanging out, jamming. Like
and then we just get like a montage of them just having a good time, you know, and then fucking TJ acting like a fucking spaz and apparently he dances like he fucking talks sporadically. It's fucking weird.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a lot of notes for TJ. Knock it off, dude.
The weirdest thing is the longing looks of the montage is intercut with Courtney holding a photo of Matt, just like kissing it. I'm like, all right.
Yes. I know. I'm like,
he's on his way. He'll be there. Yes,
exactly. I was going to say, Courtney, he'll be there soon. And then you could actually kiss him. Like, relax.
I would be more weird. I would be more weirded out if I see my friend kissing a photo of a dude than her having visions of a chopped up hand and a burger. I'm like, chopped up hand and a burger makes sense. You.
Yeah, I'd be like, yo, that makes sense. But why are you making out that picture of Matt? Like, I'm concerned.
Like, he looks like a lope, but like, you don't need to make out like a with a photo. That's just weird.
He definitely looks like he's related to Rob Lowe, but relax.
Yeah. She's honest with her friends, like, through and through.
Yes, she is.
And then she's just like, I keep having these fucking dreams. Something's fucking weird. And then you're like, you just hung over, Courtney. You had a lot of French champagne. You know what? You actually drank like we drank like an entire case last night. And it looks like it. They drank like a half a case.
Yeah.
That's a lot of champagne between four people.
It is. And you would be hungover.
You would feel like
for
shit.
Real. You would
and
feel
being
like shit.
17, 18, you know you're not hydrating after that. Like, fuck. No.
They're only drinking Diet Pepsi and Sprite in this entire movie and candles
Yeah. This was before the water movement. Like, yes, nobody's hydrating in 1987.
No.
Yeah. And you know what? They give Courtney the benefit of the doubt. Like I said, they could have played it up where they were like, fuck, we're tired of Courtney's shit. She needs to go home. She needs to shut the fuck up. Get some fucking sleep. But no, they always give her the benefit of the doubt.
And which is great. And Courtney actually in that scene, she's like, you know what, you guys, you're right. Like, I should probably just go like lie down and relax.
Yeah.
Like, even she's like, I'm getting a little worked up over this.
Yeah. But she decides to go take a bath. She intercut with some more of Sheila and TJ making whoopee. And this is, I feel like, was supposed to be like a scene from Nightmare on Elm Street too, where
it looks exactly like right out of Nightmare on Elm Street with her in the tub.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it just ramps up as soon as she's in the show, just blood everywhere. And yeah, that would freak me the fuck out too.
Hell yeah.
This could have been like a whole thing for like mental illness and just being like, and post-traumatic stress, where like anytime she's alone, she's just having visions
of a hot man with a guitar.
Yeah, when she runs out of the shower, like blood just starts pouring out from underneath the door, which I was like, oh yeah, that would have kind of freaked me the fuck out.
It looks so cool on her feet and it's gross.
No. So this, like, one vision just leads to another. She goes, gets Sally, our drummer, who's writing her next big hit, Pie in the Sky, whatever the fuck. And and like
Sugar Summer.
Sally starts talking about this pimple on her face and just be like, I'm having a horrible weekend too. And then, like I said, these visions just go on into each other bleed into each other, where all of a sudden she starts seeing visions of Sally is a pimple just exploding on her face, which I loved.
I was going to say, this is probably my favorite scene in the whole movie, is showing her grotesque pimple on her face, like each cut getting worse and worse.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
It is great practical horror.
I like how she coughed. She's like, if a pimple exploded on your face, you would have
pus.
You would have a gut reaction.
You would just, like Courtney does. She starts to vomit, and I was like, I would too. That pus coming out of their face.
Oof. So she runs down the stairs and into the strong arms of Patrick Lowe, our boyfriend, who is Matt.
Yeah. And then she tells Matt, she goes, Sally's dead. Like, she is convinced that pimple just killed Sally.
Well, they're looking for anything weird or suspicious. They're in the bathroom. The boys are telling Matt that, like, your girl's kind of like a little bit messed up, man. Like, we haven't given her shit. They drank a lot of champagne last night, and she's been having weird, weird episodes all day. And then I think this is where they, like you said, this is where they can't find Sally. So then they decide to call the cops. And who shows up? Officer Krueger, for some reason.
Like, Officer Krueger and Officer Voorhees.
Oh, is that who it was? Like, yeah, if you really hitting it over.
So you
would
talk about like those little things, like really hitting over the head. Like we have Officer Krueger and Officer Voorhees showing up to like make the call for them. Yeah.
And then, of course, you need the setup of like if the cops get called again, they're not showing up. What was it? Officer fucking Krueger was like, if I show up here again, I'm going to fucking rip your lungs out. I'm like, all right, a little.
It's so intense. You're like, dude, I like was concerned for my friend. Like, why are you mad at me?
Yeah, we can't find our friend. Like,
chill out. Like, you're the reason why cops get a bad rap, dude. Like,
yeah. And he was pretty intimidating. And they do have, like, this POV shot of from Corny's perspective again. I'm just like, yeah. And I remember watching this movie. I rented this one up next to, like, Sleepaway Camp. Like, I rented this one when I was in middle school. And I was just like, oh. Like, and it didn't make any sense to me, you know? And I could see why it didn't make it.
Yeah. Yeah, because it doesn't. Again, when you put it with the other two, it doesn't make any sense. There's like no rhyme or reason really to it other than the little bit of the plot that you're going off. It was Valerie's sister, Courtney. Like, other than that, like we never meet the driller killer ever again.
Yeah.
It's just this movie only.
Which is unfortunate. Sorry. I was watching Sally come back into the scene. So Sally shows up in the middle of the cops giving them a real one.
She's fine.
Two
she
lesson.
Went to the store.
They were saying that Sally was just like, am I in trouble? It's like, nope, but you did spend about $200 of taxpayer money. Is that what it costs for like a cop to come out to your house? What were you gonna do?
If that is, that's crazy.
Yeah. In 1987? Fuck. What does it cost now?
1987? What is exactly? Get the numbers out. Get the calculator. We have to figure this out.
Yeah, calculate that for inflation. But also like, what else are you doing? Like your whole job is to go check on people. Yeah, exactly.
Like that's just, your job is literally to be there to help people. Like what the fuck are you doing?
Exactly. And if it turns out to be nothing, then that's a good day, right?
Exactly. You're like, oh my God, there wasn't a murderer today. Thank God. Everyone's safe.
Yeah, nobody got hurt.
But they're mad. They're like, how dare you call me to come here and you act like your friend's in the garbage disposal or whatever the fuck she comes up with.
Oh, that's
like,
what that's it not was. True. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which is pretty good. He's just like, oh,
the
so you
trash
think your friend,
compactor.
Yeah, yeah. You think your friend Sally's in the trash compactor, but you're not going to check. And the cops don't check
exactly.
either.
Exactly. The cops don't go because it's running. You know, it's loud. So they're like, you know what? It's working right now. So we can't check it. But you think she's in there?
And all right, this is the point where like the friends are like, Cordy's making it all about her fucking self. We're fucking out of here. We're going to go have dinner. Maybe you guys should just, Matt's less like, yeah, we're going to stay here and have a night in, which
and
is fair.
I'm not mad at their friends for doing that. Yeah, I agreed. I was like, they did it really calmly. They were just like, hey, we're going to get out of here. We're going to go get dinner. And then Matt kind of takes over and is like, yeah, you're right. Like, we're just going to stay here. Like, I would have done the same.
Oh, yeah. Like, now that would have been played up where TJ would have been like blowing up his shit. Like now in a 2020 movie or 2000s movie, like Matt would have been like TJ would have been our fucking villain. We would have loved him to get knocked off. We forget that it's fucking Courtney's birthday and she's having the worst day ever. And Matt comes in.
That's just true. I forgot.
Happy birthday,
Matt
Courtney.
Pulls like a 16 candles situation kind of thing with the birthday cake.
It's not bad. Yeah. Yeah. He's just trying to be a sweet boyfriend. He's just trying to be.
Yeah. Again, Matt's fine. He's not like a bad guy. However, like they do leave that birthday candle completely lit and then like start having sex. So I was like, fire hazard. Fire hazard.
I missed it. Oh, see, that's my job. Good call.
Like they just kind of push it off to the side. Like they're like cutting it and it's still lit. And I'm like, you guys, let's blow out the candles.
Yeah. So we realize the gang comes back home, but it's weird though. TJ comes home with his arms wrapped around Sally and not Sheila, which is just like, oh, okay. Maybe they aren't boyfriend or girlfriend. Yeah.
Maybe.
So then the little makeout sesh is going upstairs with Courtney and Matt as they're getting real hot and heavy. And Courtney's just about to be like, I've never done this before. But she doesn't even get the words out because it goes from 0 to 100 all of a sudden, as the only thing getting penetrated is Matt's chest by the fucking driller killer, who's which I'm like there's not even an intro. It's just full on. Like, she's getting visions of the driller killer, and then all of a sudden, Matt's just fucking screaming. And it's a great fucking little scene.
It's a great scene because the drill goes right through his chest. And that's like, and Matt's gone. No, that's it. Matt's gone. Matt's dead.
Oh, yeah. Exit stage right. Patrick Lowe. And then the driller killer's just sitting there all of a sudden. And she's like, you're a fucking dream. I've been having visions all day. He grabs his fucking arm, which is like, when was he fucking massacred like that?
And he
throws it on the cake, which is great.
I also love that we're not sure if she's like, if it's real or not, because she's having all these visions. So I'm sitting there going like, okay, is Matt actually even dead? And then slowly as the scene goes on, I was like, wait, no, he's real. The killer's here, you guys. He's real.
Yeah, yeah. We get another scene where it's possibly a Courtney Cry Wolf, where she runs down the stairs and she's covered in blood. And the gang's a little freaked out, but you can see some of them are like, is this more of the same bullshit? And the driller killer just shows up right behind her. And he almost like impales her face with that thing, like that would have been an onset accident.
Like, I have so many fucking questions. I'd be like, whoa, wait, how did this guy in the cutting in the house, wait, he's real, like
exactly. But so apparently this is a supernatural killer, which I'm like,
okay, sure.
He's the spirit of rock and roll. I don't know what the fuck. There's
the
like
the spirit of rock and roll has come to murder you.
No idea what the fuck this guy is. Like, it does not make any sense.
That's fine. No notes. He's still great.
Still great. Yeah, yeah. He talks in one-liners, much like a Freddy, right?
Yes.
But they're all rock related.
They're all rock and roll related. Mm-hmm. It's just so funny. I love them. I love them. I want a poster. Someone maybe a poster of the driller killer.
Yeah, there's some good fan art. Yeah, I need some fan art. Driller killer.
So, I do.
So Sheila and TJ did the smart thing and ran out of the fucking house, and they're fucking out of there.
They're like, fuck this. Fuck. Smart people in the horror movie.
Yeah. And TJ is really fucking playing it up. He's just like, he might have got his femoral artery fucking pierced. Well, actually, everybody runs out of the house. So they all did the smart thing here, except is when they make a wrong turn, they all head back to the house. Ayo.
Ayo, wrong turn. Yeah, why'd you go podcast back?
Yeah. Well,
oh, that's right. Our podcast.
They're trying to like reconvene. They're trying to figure out what the fuck is this. The girl, Courtney's just like, I've been having dreams about this fucking guy all day. They're trying to make sense of it. And they're like, where are the fucking keys to the car? He's just like, I left them inside the fucking house, which I'm like, all right. So this gives them the reason why they have to go back, essentially, mm-hmm. right? And the biggest faux pas, they get back to the house. They find out that Sally's been pierced through the chest. And for some reason, Jeff is just like, I'm going to have a look outside the door.
Oh, yeah. No, but you're correct. He's just like, I got to check. Going to make sure when there's literally like blood smeared across all of the cupboards. And he's like, Sally, hey, Sally, got to like, I guess give him a little bit of props. He's going to try and check to see if Sally's still alive. But Sally is a goner.
Sally's a goner. Sally's a goner. Driller killer took out Sally and the phone at the same time. Right.
Yes.
2-1. Jeff is checking outside to see if anybody's outside, right? And then at count of three, we go, right? And then he's whispering, 1, 2, and then he screams, go. I'm like, not being inconspicuous. Like, you're not being secretive at all. You're not being, just like, if you didn't know where you were, he sure knows where you are now.
Yeah. I'm like,
yeah.
Be so mad at him. Smack Jeff in the face. Jeff.
And then, like I said, the biggest faux pas ever, they get to Jeff's car. But what don't they do? They don't check the back seat, much like an urban legend. See our podcast for that one.
Yeah. They don't check the back seat.
And Driller Killer dedicates to the one he loves and just pierces Jeff, which I don't even think that's logistically possible because that guitar is huge.
The guitar's huge. I don't know how he fit it back there so inconspicuously. But I do love that he has a rose in his ear.
Yeah, he's classy.
He's classy. Mm-hmm. He is and rock like for, and roll. He's sensitive.
I guess for like 40 minutes, it turns out like it's, or 30 or, yeah, about 30 minutes, like a 30 long minute chase scene. It's fun. Not bad. Everybody gets knocked out very, very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. And I enjoy that. It just, it's smooth.
But we cut to TJ and Sheila as they are trying to make their getaway, and they almost make it. They find a neighbor, knock on the door, and then Drilla Killer just sneaks up behind him. One's twos, Sheila in the face with the drill, but I think she only gets cut in the arm and then does away with our poor TJ, which I would have loved to see a little bit more of TJ.
Yeah, because TJ's our main like dick in this movie, so you always kind of want to see like that guy really get it. I do enjoy that Sheila does try to like save him the whole time.
Yeah, because I think like that. Role reversal. Like,
yeah, role reversal. I like it. It's usually always like the dude, like, yeah, being like, I got to save my girl. But she's like, no, I got to save my man, even though he's an asshole. And the neighbor just opens the door. Is like, what is going on here? Nothing. Hey,
fucking kids.
Closes the door.
Yeah.
Fucking kids. Closes the door.
Yeah. So cuts to Courtney and Amy. I hope her name is Amy, because if I got it wrong this whole time, I would have fucking
yes, Sally and Sheila are out of here. So yes.
And they find a phone. They barricade themselves inside one of the bedrooms. So they're doing all the right things. And they call the cops. But like Kruger said, Officer Kruger, excuse me, he's just like, I'm not going to fucking deal with any more phone calls from you fucking meddling kids. So don't call me.
Yeah. Do not call the police if you need help. Never do it.
this is what movies taught us in the 80s, basically. Like,
it really did. It was like, don't call the cops. Like, yeah. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I thought they're supposed to help us.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And Sheila's having the second worst day, you know, because her arm's fucking gashed open by that fucking drill. And she just decides to make it back to the house, because where else is she going to go? TJ has, you know, spun off this mortal coil, and she is in it by herself right now.
And she does have a really gnarly gash in arm.
It looks great. I do like this whole like miscommunicated like scene over here, where like Sheila makes it into the house. She finds Sally on the floor. She freaks out, but the girls are barricaded inside the room. They're like, "Do you hear something?" And it just turns out to be their friend. Like, they would have helped her if they had the chance, but they don't know if it's her, if it's the killer. So, like, it plays out pretty well. She makes it to the door, starts fiddling for the door, but she can't get inside because it's barricaded, and they think it's the killer. And then we get our sixth musical number.
And I also like how Atanas, like, looks right to camera and goes, "It's time for the fun part." Mm. And boy, is he right. He's correct. The coolest fucking thing in this movie. I love every second of this man dancing in the living room.
Oh no, it's great. Like, sorry, a song called "Let's Buzz" by John Luke Logan. Excuse me. And I'm like, a lot of these rockabilly songs.
I'm adding that to my playlist for my runs in the morning immediately.
Yeah, I want to say like he brought his own dance to this. Like I'm pretty sure like they didn't have to teach him. And he fucking moves.
No, he moves.
Like a half a jump, and like he kind of like half somersaults onto the floor and does a push up. Like, I'm not doing that.
I'm just like, I'm not doing that. Clearly not.
Yeah.
And then he's like on his freaking badass guitar drill that I also want.
Not even, we forgot to mention that it is a guitar drill, but it is the most ornate guitar drill we've ever seen. With a lot of like detail of like these random parts, like basically if it was your guitar from hell.
Correct. It is Satan's guitar.
Yeah.
Because not only like is it a drill, but there's several, like you talked about being it so detailed, like you could murder anybody with that thing.
Random spikes. Right.
It is Satan's guitar.
Yeah. Flourishes of like spikes and like red detail everywhere. Yeah.
And by the way, this whole scene of him and his musical number and dancing and like murdering the slumber party, it is the slumber party massacre.
Yeah.
And you forget that, yeah, he's murdering and he's our villain because he's so charismatic. You're just, you're rooting for him. At least I am.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, the only thing is that just like I would have liked to see, like I said, we would have wanted to see more of Atana, of the Driller Killer. We wanted to see a little bit more different kills with the guitar, maybe. But the guitar only really has one setting, and that's Drill Baby Drill. Drill. Yeah.
Drill Baby Drill. It only drills.
So.
You are right, though. I guess I would have, like, because you know how we love creativity when it comes to death scenes and things like that in the movies. So. It is a little flat in that this is the only way that he murders, but he makes up for it with his attitude.
I guess that would be our only note, would be just like, we wanted to see a little bit more creativity with that one. But we get some great fucking lighting. As he pierces through the fucking door with his guitar drill, like, it's lit dark. We get some like rays of red and green on the girls, and it just looks fucking spectacular.
He's on the roof.
Oh yeah. So this is when we find out, like, I mean, if you didn't know already, he's fucking supernatural. So anytime they turn a corner, Atanas is already there playing the fucking guitar, which is just like,
and not even playing, like, full on guitar solo, just railing. Like, he is having the time of his life.
Yeah.
Which is, again, why I would be like, I would go with him. This is like the problem. Like, I would be like, you guys, this guy looks like he's having fun. I'm going to go join whatever he's up to.
Which would have been a great turn for the movie. Like, one, you know, like a pact with the devil sort of a deal. Like, oh, you want to wreck a contract? Like, let's go, you know?
Yeah, I'd be like, you know what? This looks fun. I'm going to do this now.
Well, because he also talks about, like, making love. Like, he's like, I'm going to make love to you. You know, like, it's like he wants a girlfriend, but it's just using that as a metaphor for, like, I'm going to kill you, you know, essentially.
Yeah, that's why I'm like... Which is just bad behavior, and I know this, but that's why I'm like, no, thanks. I'll go with him.
Bad behavior.
Like, but he is kind of just
like, you just realized you had a toxic trait, and you just
like, man, dude, Driller Killer, you're kind of toxic, like, but you sure are sexy.
Yeah. Is this saying a lot about Courtney? The Courtney on this podcast, not the Courtney in the movie, but it's just like, you're more like toxic men.
Me, Courtney. Yeah. No, this is like a prime example of like how I've been attracted to like the bad boy my entire life, where I'm like, oh, I know it's not a good thing.
He might, like, murder me, not, but
he's we'll not have a husband. Time. He's not a partner. Yeah. But oh man, is he likable?
So the chase scene ensues, and the one who's having the worst time right now is poor Amy, as she's getting little bits of her taken as the Driller Killer is around every corner. She gets slashed in the face, she gets slashed in the back, and she's like, I mean, if I was Amy, I'd be like, maybe I should go first, because you know, nothing's happening to fucking poor Courtney over here. You know?
I'd be like, hey, Courtney, let me go ahead of you.
Let me lead, because you know what? I'm getting fucking tagged
over
here.
My back hurts. Like, that slash on her back looks gnarly in a good way. It looks really good.
It's great because, you know, she's getting pieces taken out of her left and right, but then just they make a step too far, and then Amy just falls off a half-constructed house right over here.
Yeah, so it's kind of a lame death for her. That she just falls to her death versus getting drilled.
Yeah. So, and not a whole lot of blood after that. We get another song. Is this still Let's Buzz? I can't remember if this is it. No, I think it's a different song playing right now. Oh, not to mention that before the Driller Killer kills Sheila, it's a whole musical number. Like, it is a full. Oh, we forgot. Did we bury it? Like, we might have glazed over it a little bit because of how much we loved it, but it is a full on musical number.
Okay, yes, maybe we did glaze over because we are in love with it, but yeah, he's singing, he has like all the moves. That's why I said, I was like, it's really giving Eddie in Rocky Horror Picture Show. Like, just shows up and he's like, all right, here we go, guys. Even though Rocky Horror Picture Show is a musical, this is also a musical, and I stand by it.
And a pretty pretty seamless to like jump from, you know, musical number to like movie without like stopping the momentum of the movie.
And like, I did read some reviews just like on IMDb, and I feel like that's people's like hot take where they didn't like this movie. Like that was like really, we're like, oh, this is such a bad horror movie. It's not even good. And I'm like, you've missed the point completely. Like, do you not have a fun bone in your body at all?
I think it's just because they expect too much. Like when a movie is initially released, they expect it to be, I don't know, really good. Right. But when we appreciate it for what it is, like now looking back on it, what is like 33 years later, like this movie is great for what it is. This little rock and roll musical slasher number, like it's great.
Love it. Because
there's nothing like it, like other than Rocky Horror.
Truly, other than Rocky Horror, like there's nothing. But even in Rocky Horror, there's not too many like deaths. Like obviously like this one, there's a couple deaths in that movie, but this one is just like back, like we're getting a lot of blood. And I like here at the end with like Courtney running around this construction site of these houses and Driller Killer is like chasing her, and there's like this little moment where he's like, that's so nicely in the background, and he's almost like confessing his love for her. Like you said earlier, it was like, does he want a girlfriend? Like what is he really up to? Is he like is he here for murdering, or is he like, I'm looking for my wife?
Yeah
because like, if I'm the Courtney in this movie, like I've already said, I'm probably just gonna be like, you know what, I'm going with you. Let's do it. Say, like, I am.
If you were the Courtney, you say I do, you know?
I say I do. Yeah, it's like in Legend with Tom Cruise and Tim Curry. Oof. Like when she's like, I would never be married to you, to Tim Curry, Devil Tim Curry.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'd never be married to you, da da da. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, bitch, I would have been stoked. I'd have been like, hell yeah. I'm married to this guy. Here for it.
5'3" Tom Cruise, 7'8" Tim Curry without the horns.
Yeah. I'll take that. Fuck you, Tom Cruise, and your unicorns.
Tim Curry was the shit in that fucking movie.
Oh, he's amazing in that movie. He's like 8 feet tall in full makeup. It's crazy.
Oh, fuck it. Practical? Oh, so good.
Oh,
so.
Oops.
Oh, so. Courtney finds a welding kit, lights our poor Rockabilly John Barathol on fire. Apparently that's how you undo a supernatural Driller killer.
I guess.
Doesn't make any sense other than the fact that like Courtney looks like she also loses her shit in the process. We also get no body from our Driller killer.
And he's supernatural, so we know.
Yeah. Other than the fact that like they do uncover Amy's body, and as they go to check in on her, Amy wakes up and starts laughing in the Driller killer's voice. So making us believe that this was also a dream, as this goes on into another montage as Courtney wakes up again in her bed next to our knockoff Rob Lowe, and she turns over. Painting like one of the first dream sequences that she had.
Yeah, where she was like making out with Matt, but it's not Matt. It's Driller Killer.
As we see this fucking leather, fingerless leather gloves grab his her
leather
head.
Little gloves. You're like, oh, we know who that is.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny though, because it's a Driller Killer, but he's like recovering from the attack. So he's all burnt up.
It's weird. He's a little burnt.
Yeah.
A little ashy.
Yeah, there would have been a lot of questions for Courtney. Like, there's no killer here, Courtney, but all your friends are dead.
Yeah, it doesn't look right. And then it just ends really nicely with her kind of, again, transitioning into being like she's in the mental hospital and then the drill coming through the floor of the mental hospital. So
all right.
I guess Courtney has the similar fate to her sister.
Yeah. Well, so with an interview with the director, turns out that is open to interpretation.
Okay.
So there are no wrong answers in this movie.
I believe that.
The whole movie could have been a dream sequence in Courtney's head. She could be in the mental institution after the events of the Driller Killer. She could have been the Driller Killer herself. Also, you might have missed it, but when that drill comes up from underneath the floor, I mean, it is obviously a maquette because the chair is the size of the drill, which is really, really weird. That's like what throws me off. Yeah. And then Courtney's not really moving.
Yeah, it's a little odd.
Yeah.
No.
The small chair.
I do like the small tiny chair.
The small tiny chair.
But I do small tiny chair. But no, I do like the idea where it is a left up to interpretation. It's such a strange movie. But I love it. Like, I like loved every second of it. It is a musical. It is a slasher. It's very watchable. It's fun.
Strangest. I mean, that's it's what I said. Strange. Like, this was kind of like a little bit before its time. There's a lot of indie movies that kind of do this sort of now, where a lot of dream sequences are thrown in, a lot of weird kind of synthy montages are trying to thrown in the middle of like dialogue to sort of just like up the feel of the movie. And yeah, I think you had there some, yeah, I think you had something there, Deborah Brock. And we're still talking about it now, 33 years later.
I think so too. And right? I don't agree with the negative reviews. I would totally give this one like 9 out of 10 because that driller killer, man, he yeah. is phenomenal.
I'm going to give it 6.5, 7.
Okay. You're going a little guitars. Lower. I get you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like if we're appreciating it for something for what it is. Yeah. 100%.
I will be purchasing some fan art of that man.
I'll just make you one, Courtney. I'll make you some.
Okay, yeah.
I'll make you
maybe some driller killer.
There was a time where I was drawing nothing but like rockabilly like guys for like a minute. Not even like too long ago, like 6 years ago. I had a friend who was like really into like rockabilly guys, and I loved his approach on it. And I was like, dude, I'm gonna do that. And I loved it. I still love doing some. Yeah, I got a vampire greaser sticker. Yeah. That's one of my rockabilly dudes.
I like rockabilly dudes for sure. Greaser. Hell so, yeah.
If you're a horror head like us and you like some cult films, this movie is definitely one on our list to watch. If you're yeah. a horror head, you probably have already seen this one and probably just love us talking about it, you know? Also, I'm going to shameless plug real quick. If you follow us on any of the socials, you know, make sure you go to the Spotify or the Apple podcast and give us a little like and subscribe, you know, or download it. Even if you don't listen to it, fuck it. Just download it. You know, it helps us out a lot.
We appreciate it. We enjoy this so much. We really do. But it is our time and it is our money and that's fine. But yeah, help us out, guys. Spotify, yeah. Apple, YouTube.
Yeah. I still might curious. I might check out the remakes. I had a hard time finding part three, even though I know part three is the worst one out of the three. I watched part one a long time ago.
I think it
ago.
Is on Tubi. If you are, I know you don't like Tubi, but I think it's on there if you want to.
No, it's not on Tubi. Every time I click on the Tubi one, it turns out to be a different movie called Stab in the Dark. It's like a small documentary.
Maybe it's not. Because the first, there's definitely first one, and there's Sorority House Massacre. Maybe that's what. Okay, that's from 86.
There was something fun there. There was a scene there where it was during like the copyright like page there, it says like none of this can be reproduced without prior authorization or whatever. And then it says, or you would be visited by the driller killer himself.
Fun. I love that. Immediately Lily downloaded it. Yeah. Where's he gonna come? Is he gonna be here?
Yeah. Oh. All right, guys. Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode.
Stay spooky, y'all.
Have a good one, guys.
Bye.